Let's get started today. We've been talking about moved. The Spirit moves us, right? We have all of these different things. And today we're going to talk about being moved by the anointing. That's a big terminology, right? It feels very Christianese, and it's really, there's a lot to it. And I want to talk about it, though. But how many of you have heard the term anointing? Right? You've heard it? Right? You've heard the term anointing. And our minds might go to some statements similar to this, right? He or she's the anointed one. And we might be saying that sarcastically. Some of you say it sarcastically more than others. Right? Maybe you've said, we think about the king who is anointed. A king who is anointed the king, right? Or we might have even said, that person. You look out there at somebody, right? You look at like Miss Helen, man, that person is so anointed. Right? You might have all of those terms, but you're kind of walking through it. And I got to be honest with you guys, I've made all those statements. I've made all of them. But what does it really mean to be anointed? Have you thought about that? We flip that term around a lot, don't we? But what does it mean to be anointed? There's a lot to it. I mean, there is a portion of Webster's that tells us it's to slather on oil all over somebody. None of you go slathering oil on me. Right? But it's almost is like it becomes this big term to us. But really, it's very simple. It's to choose by or as if by divine election to designate. That's what it means to be anointed, to be designated, to be selected by divine election. Now, I want to ask you this. How many of you would say that anointing is available to each and every one of you? You would say that. But sometimes we place this big magical definition around it, don't we? It's only for certain people. It's only for the pastor. And I see some heads shaking, but I got to tell you, I don't see a lot of people walk in that sometimes. If it's available to us, if it's ready for us, if it's designated for us, how come more of us aren't walking in his anointing? How come more of you aren't acting, myself included, like we were selected by the divine God? We get so down on ourselves. We put this off on other people. And we say, oh, it's for them. They're anointed. But the reality is that God meant this for each and every one of us. And it really is everything I talk to you guys about. Everything I've ever talked to you about. It starts with choice. It does. It starts with choice. A choice to pursue God with a pure and honest heart. That's where our anointing starts, with the choice to pursue God. Because he doesn't anoint those that don't pursue him. Why? Why would he? He wants those who will pursue him. He means he wants you to do it with this pure heart. Because we look at anointed and we think perfection. We'll go through some stories here today in the Bible of how I'm going to demonstrate that anointing is not perfection. For those of you who called me anointed, you do not know how imperfect I am. I mean, I bet the Sunday school class that I would break a Ten Commandment before the end of the day today at some point. I'm sure I will. Right? Just going to be honest with you all. You know? I mean, Jim, it'll be a chocolate malt shake and somebody will win really quickly. Right? I don't think I have yet this morning. I haven't hollered at any people driving in on the way because I don't think I encountered anybody on the way in this morning. But, right? But that's where we put this big mystical piece. And really, I want to explain to you today what it really means to be anointed. And God kind of gave me these five characteristics, what it means to be anointed. And I'm going to pick this up because I got a new iPad and I'm really excited. I can see it really clearly. It doesn't blink out on me. It doesn't do any of that stuff. So I feel like I can actually pick it up today. So what does it mean to be anointed? Huh? Do you know? Let me start off with the number one thing. It means that we are consecrated to God. Because you are selected by a divine God. So you are consecrated to him. That's the first definition. of being anointed. The second one is that the Holy Spirit is empowering us. Come on, you all here at Sunshine Open Bible, we believe that the Holy Spirit empowers us each and every day, don't we? I believe that the Holy Spirit was working in this place. I believe he was working on Kelton's back during this time. It means we're operating in divine favor. And divine, you know what that means? That just means we're operating in godly favor, right? Fourthly, it means that we have the power of God living in us to break the power of sin and oppression.
That's right. Amen.
Come on. That's good stuff. And we are marked. We are marked by that anointing as being belonging to Jesus Christ. That's what anointing is. I'm going to take you through that today. I'm going to take you through it because I truly believe that what we need is more people to stand in the anointing of God. Stand up into their inheritance. Stand up into what they've been called to. As Miss Helen preached or spoke about today earlier, about the spiritual gifts. We need more people to walk in their anointing of the spiritual gifts. We need more people to know who God called them to be. We sang the song, Good, Good Father. The second chorus is, what does it say? It says, I am a child of God. Right? I think that's it, right? We need to understand more and more that we're children of God. So I'm going to ask you to bow your heads with me, guys, while I pray, because I need his spirit today. I need to walk in the anointing today, because I want to be like Moses, and I want to say, show me your face. Show me your face, God. God, we are so grateful to be in your presence today. God, that we are surrounded, encompassed in your holiness today. God, we are the beneficiaries of your holiness today, of who you are. I pray that you just open our ears today, God, to hear your voice in this message, that we would pursue you relentlessly. We would pursue your word today, God. I pray that you would reveal to us the power and the gift of your anointing. Father, I invite you. I invite your spirit into this place today. We say, have your way, Holy Spirit. We submit our hearts and our minds today to your word. In Jesus' name, amen. How many know that's important that we submit ourselves to Jesus' will? Sometimes we come in here and you got something else on your mind. But it is time to not just submit our hearts, but to submit our minds to what he has for us. He has so many things for us, and we miss so much because we fail to recognize that we need to submit to him. And that was why my prayer was so heavy this morning, that we would have submissive hearts to him to hear what he has. Well, let's turn in our Bibles today. If you got your Bibles, if you don't have a Bible and you want to read a Bible, there's one right in front of you, right? If you want to keep that Bible because you don't have a Bible, we would say keep the Bible, right? Aaron and I found a really good deal on those. So we would say take the Bible. We'll refill them, right, Miss Vicki? We'll refill them. If you turn in your Bibles to Psalms 51, 111, it seems like probably a very familiar verse to a lot of us. The last verse, verse 11, is one we repeat here in our church frequently. But I want you to read the entire thing because this has a lot to do with the anointing. It has a lot to do with the preparation for anointing. It's about the heart of the anointed. This is really what it is. It's the heart of the anointed person. And I got to tell you, I believe that God has an anointing for each and every one of you. So this should be our verse. This should be the verse that's on the tip of our tongues. So let's read it. Have mercy on me, O God, because of your unfailing love. Because of your great compassion, blot out the stain of my sins. Wash me clean from my guilt. Purify me from my sin, for I recognize my rebellion. It haunts me day and night. Against you and you alone have I sinned. I have done what is evil in your sight. You will be proved right in what you say, and your judgment against me is just. For I was born a sinner, yes, from the moment my mother conceived me. But you desire honesty from the womb, teaching me the wisdom even there. Purify me from my sins, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Oh, give me back my joy again. You have broken me. Now, let me rejoice. Come on, some of us, when we get broken, we need to rejoice. Yes. Don't keep looking at my sins. Remove the stain of my guilt. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a loyal spirit within me. Do not banish me from your presence, and don't take your Holy Spirit from me. That's the prayer of the anointed. That's the prayer of the anointed, because we understand that his presence is greater than anything else. We understand who we belong to, right? That is who we really are. We are anointed. We're called out. We're a royal priesthood, a chosen generation. That isn't being anointed. I don't know what is. Each and every one of you, I want you to turn around, look at your neighbor, and say, I am anointed. Well, none of you are enthusiastic about, because I'm anointed. I don't know. I'm the only one here that's excited this morning. I'm telling you, God is working in me. Now, disclaimer before I start into going here any deeper. Number one, I'm highly excitable today because I believe this is the word of the Lord. Pastor Morris asked me one time, he said, are you ready to say, thus saith the Lord? And let me tell you, I say today, thus saith the Lord. I'm ready. I believe he's spoken. He's prepared a word just for our hearts. So this morning, I know he's not here. He's at another church. But I would say, thus saith the Lord today. Secondly, I'm really excited because Steve has an appointment for me at like 12:15 or 12:30 today. And I'm going to use all this time to get there. So, and my wife just shot you a really dirty look over that. But it wouldn't be fun. I'm going to do my best here, guys. But I'm going to let the Lord speak. How about that?
Amen.
How about that? I'm going to let him speak. So the first thing I wanted to talk about today, the first part of the anointing moves us to be consecrated to the Lord. That's a big word, consecrated, isn't it? When we look at the word consecrated, it means simply that we are set apart. Samson was set apart as a Nazarite. Samuel was set apart. He was consecrated to the Lord. He was given his life to the Lord. The prophets were consecrated to the Father, right? All of these things, it's simply that we're set apart. We're called, church, each and every one of you are called to be different. You are called to be different than the world. You're different than when you walked in here. We're to dedicate ourselves to something other than ourselves. Consecration is the opposite of selfishness. It is the absolute opposite. But within that, being dedicated, within setting ourselves apart, there's this great opportunity, right? There's this great thing that happens within us when we set ourselves apart to the Lord. He renews us and he transforms us. Come on, I'm not the same guy that I was before I met Jesus. I wasn't the same guy that I was last week because he's continuing to work in my life. I'm not the same guy that I was on Friday because I know he's continuing to pour his word into my life. He's continually renewing me and transforming me because I've consecrated myself to him. He's chosen me by divine election, if I will. The big word, right? Romans, we're going to get a lot of scripture. So if you are a note taker, I just recommend you write down the scripture. Romans 12. 1 and 2 says this, and so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Consecrate yourself, huh? Doesn't that sound a little bit like that? Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Oh, we love worship here. Don't copy the behavior and the customs of the world. Don't, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. And then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Come on, when you stand in his presence, when you stand consecrated and anointed in front of him, you are changed. You are transformed. I don't know this young man's name in the Harley Davidson hat, but you are not the same man that you were 3 months ago. I don't know anything about you. I'm not even sure I know your name, and I'm sorry. that I don't know your name. I should. I'm supposed to be the connection pastor. That's terrible. But I'm telling you, as I've watched you and I've paid attention to you, you are not the same man.
Amen.
You are not the same man. You've been renewed and you've been transformed because you begin to consecrate your life before him. For us to dedicate our lives to God, guys, we have to start. You got to start. Remember, I said it all starts with choice. We have to start by allowing God to change us. If you're happy, Emma, being the same old Emma, God's not going to change you. He's not going to transform you. He's not going to renew you, right? He's not going to do that. It starts with us choosing to allow ourselves to be consecrated before him, allowing that anointing to come on. Because we can't expect holy things. Church, listen to me. You can't expect holy things from God and continue to live the way and the places that you've already lived. You've got to be set apart. God, so many of you think that I can live the way I want to live on Monday through Saturday, and then on Sunday morning, I'm going to come in and be consecrated before the Lord and expect holy things from him. You're going to expect his presence to move. You're going to expect healing. You're going to expect bondage to drop off. You are fooled. Because the anointing of God, if you're hearing me right now, and I sound so serious, and I'm not always that serious, because this is serious business. The anointing of God is serious. It's the power to change lives. We cannot live the same way that we've always lived and expect the holiness to go and come into our lives. We can't. That's why consecration is so important. When we consecrate our lives to God, it allows us to be used by him and for his purposes. You know, once again, Miss Helen's talking about those gifts, right? She's talking about them. And you're wondering why I don't have a gift, why I'm not being used. Where's your life consecrated to? Why would God put holy things in you when you are unholy? You can't. It cannot work that way. As long as we stay dedicated and consecrated to ourselves, it keeps the anointing from being able to work in us and through us. That's the truth. 2 Timothy 2:21 tells us this. If you keep yourself pure, you will be a special utensil for honorable use. Your life will be clean and you will be ready for the master to use you for every good work. Come on. When I read this, though, I read that. And I got to be honest, I sat there Friday afternoon and I was reading that scripture and I was like, God, how can I ever live up to that? How can I ever live up to that? Because anybody who knows me, my son is not here, but my daughter-in-law is. I'm not perfect, am I? I like to think I am, but I'm not. I mean, she thinks I'm perfect, but that's not. She probably knows horror stories from her husband. The lack of perfection in my life. But what I realized in that moment, guys, was this. Is that it's Jesus' blood that God sees in me. And Jesus was perfect in every way. Right? I'm not perfect. But he is. He lives inside of me. His blood covers over me when it was shed on a cross. It's 2,000 years ago. That makes me perfect in the sight of God. It makes me usable. It makes me clean. That's why the song says, wash me white as snow, right? Who would have thought blood washes the white? But it does. It washes us white as snow. It makes us pure so that we can be used for God's glory at any given time. I want to think about my favorite person right now in the Bible because I'm reading 1 Samuel and I just finished Psalms and it's David. David was a flawed man. Maybe that's why I like him. Yet he's called a man after God's own heart because he sought God and he renewed himself to God when he went off track. He allowed the anointing to flow over him. To be consecrated, to be dedicated. And that doesn't mean we're not going to have bumps in the road. Your pastors have bumps in the road. We do stupid stuff. We say stupid things sometimes. Probably this morning. But because of the anointing, Oh, we can still operate. We can still be blessed. The Bible is just full. It's chocked full. That's what I love about the Bible. It's chocked full of flawed people who consecrated themselves to God because they continued to live purely by seeking God with a repentant heart. You say, how do I live as a pure and clean? It's living with a repentant heart. David was a murderer, an adulterer, a thief, and yet he's called a man after God's own heart because he had a repentant heart. That's what allowed him to be consecrated. That's what allowed the anointing of God to stay upon him. And when we consecrate ourselves to God, he can work through us and do amazing things. Helen, those gifts you're talking about, they're so amazing. God can do so many things through you. In a hospital with a sick child, he can do something through you. At the gas station, he can do something through you. At the supermarket, he can do something through you. Joshua 3:5 says this, then Joshua told the people, purify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do great wonders among you. God wants, get this, I want you to hear this, church. God wants to reflect his glory through you. But he wants sincere, dedicated hearts to work through. He don't want a fly-by-nighter. He don't want the Sunday Christian. He don't want you just holy on Sunday. He wants you holy every day. That's where he wants us to live. He wants us to live in that holiness. Now, the second one is this. It says, the anointing is the demonstration of the Holy Spirit empowering us to do God's work and reflect his glory. You ever think about that, guys? How are we supposed to do what God wants us to do? There are moments where we think, this is impossible. Maybe Friday afternoon when I was starting this message, I was thinking, this is impossible. Right? The anointing of the Holy Spirit identifies us as belonging to Jesus because his Spirit is in us. Now I want to talk about that because Romans 8, chapter 16, and verses 16 and 17 says this: for his Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children, and since we are his children and we are his heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. Hear that word glory again. But if we are to share his glory, we must also share in his suffering. See, his Spirit affirms who we are and sets us apart. It goes back to the consecration. It sets us apart from the world as children of God. Remember how I started out? You are a royal priesthood and a chosen generation. You are set apart. His Holy Spirit defines you as that. Not who you are. The anointing of the Holy Spirit allows us to do the will of God. There's so many things, guys, that it seems so impossible. How to love somebody when they don't feel very lovable. You ever encountered any of those people? They're hateful. They're hard to deal with. But his power, his Holy Spirit, is what allows us, because we're called to love people, right? Jesus said the second greatest commandment was to love your neighbor as yourself. Sometimes some of my neighbors aren't very loving, are they? Some of our own family members don't feel like they're very lovable. And yet it's the Holy Spirit that's within us because of the anointing of the Holy Spirit that allows us to overcome that and love our neighbor. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says, this is Jesus' word, so it better be in red up there, Andy. Is it in red? Okay. It's in red in my notes. All right, how about this? Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says, but you will receive power. Power. Come on, somebody say, I love when Pastor, I need Pastor Morris up here right now because he would say, power, right? I'm not that gifted, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem and throughout Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And let me tell you, at that moment, when Jesus prophesied that he spoke this over his people, let me tell you, there was no subway, there was no Uber, there was no train, no plane, no cars. He was saying, you're going to go to the whole ends of the earth. I got the opportunity last year to see how Paul walked into Ephesus. Let me tell you, it took the power of the Holy Spirit to walk up to Ephesus, up the mountain, over the mountain, down the mountain, up the mountain, down the mountain. He's empowering us. The power that Jesus promised, it's multifaceted here. You know, we think of it as just being, you know, that we'll go and we'll tell people about Jesus, but there's so much more. It's multifaceted because when you look at Romans chapter 12, again, verse 6 through 8 says, in his grace, God has given us, here we go, Miss Helen, this is for you. I didn't even talk to her, so when I read that last night, by the way, I was like, holy cow, she's right on my sermon. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take that responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. See, each one of these gifts are an empowerment from the Holy Spirit because of the anointing that falls upon you because of His Holy Spirit. Each one of those gifts is the empowerment to do the will of God. Some of you think, man, my job isn't important enough to go up and hug somebody, hug on their neck, tell them I love them, tell them that they're important. Let me tell you, that might be your most important gift here. Because if all of you prophesy, but nobody loves anybody, nobody cares. Paul says it's like a resounding gong, cymbal that clangs, not as good as Connor's. It's like when Connor first learned how to play. It was bad. Right? It was bad. Each one of these gifts, no matter what it is. Some of you look, I want Kelly's anointing. I want to be a teacher. I want to be a preacher. No, you don't. Live in the calling and the anointing that God has given you. Some of you are better givers than I am. Some of you are more loving than I am. Most of you are more loving than I am. Some of you are better teachers than me. Be a good teacher. I couldn't stand out at that door, Miss Jeanette, and hug everybody that walked in the door. I'm a germaphobe. That weirds me out. Somebody drank out of my water bottle last Sunday, and I about croaked. And I'm not even for sure they did. I went home and used mouthwash, you guys. That's terrible. Right? I don't have all of those gifts, but each one of those gifts are important. And they're an empowerment of the Holy Spirit. They are the sign of His Spirit living upon you, the anointing that He's placed upon you. You don't want to be another Kelly. You don't want to be Heidi. You want to be Steve. You want to be Connor, the anointed. That's who you want to be. The anointing of the Holy Spirit, it's transforming us. Because here's where you do want. It's transforming us into the image of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18 tells us this. So all of us who have had the veil removed, come on, who's had the veil removed here, people? Come on. Can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like Him as we are changed into His glorious image. Come on, that's who I am. Let me tell you. Some of you got to meet my dad back in September. I know what I'm going to look like at 70, but what I really want to look like is my heavenly Father. Yeah. Right? I want to look like the Father. I want to be Him. I want to love the unlovable. I want to be able to come and set the captive free. Because that's what I was called to do. That's what you're called to do. I want to be clear, though. This does not make you God, because some of you just heard that and said, I'm God? You are not God. You are in His image. But it's transforming us so that when people see us, when the world takes a look at you, Kelton, they don't see Kelton. They see the Father. They see the face of the Savior who died for them. Our acts, our words, everything we do bears the image of what God would do. That's what it means to be transformed into His image. That's what the anointing looks like. We become His image bearers. That's a heavy weight, church. But it's a weight I'll bear any day. The anointing, allows us to live in his divine favor. I told you really what that means is God's favor. To live under God's anointing is for him to lead us to a place that we flourish no matter the situation. Isaiah chapter 58, verse 11 tells us this. The Lord will guide you continually, giving you water when you are dry, restoring your strength. You will be like a well-watered garden, like an ever-flowing spring. Situations, hear me loud and clear, because some of you are in some bad situations. I know that. And you're going to think I'm insensitive. But situations and circumstances do not define us when we live under the favor and the anointing of the King. Because here's the reality. Trouble's going to come, right? Bad times happen. They're going to happen. You're human. Things break down. But I also know good times come. Those two things do not define whether God is living on my life, whether he's anointed me. It doesn't say anything like that. But when our source is God the Father, listen, when your source, when the source of your favor, that divine favor, is of God the Father, we can bear fruit in any condition. In a hospital room, we can stand there and tell people about Jesus Christ in the worst moments of our life. Amen. Some of the best sermons and some of the biggest salvations I've ever seen have been at a funeral. Because we can still flourish in that moment. Because of his anointing that rests upon you. It rests upon your head. Because you are chosen. His favor doesn't change. Because there will be drought. There will be pain. There will be sunshine. But God's favor allows us to reflect his glory and his goodness to those around us. That's what divine favor is. We're like the mirror. We're shining down. You ever play with the mirror in the sun, you know, and then you put your spot. I love to do that to the cat, right? And I put it all over the wall, and the cat's like jumping all these weird spots, right? We're the reflection of God himself. Because divine favor is intended to show God's glory. It is not for our own purpose. Some of you think that. It's for me. It's not. We get this notion in our heads, right? We think about this in a way that we say that divine favor only means that we're rich or we don't experience any problems or we have perfect health or we have the best car out in the parking lot. Right? It means we never experience trouble. That's what we get this in our head. But we think that God's hand is taken away from us if we stub our toe in the bathroom in the morning. Right? Come on. How many of y'all said that God's favor is not on me right now? I know some of you have. I've heard you. I've prayed with some of you. But his favor, let me tell you this. I said this to someone this morning, and I hope he hears me again. His favor shines through the most when the times are dark. And then people around us get the opportunity to truly see God's character. They get the opportunity to see his goodness. It actually defies logic that in our darkest times that we reflect the greatest glory. We're the most fruitful because God's divine favor rests upon us because it's not defined by situation. Divine favor, church, hear this, is not about you. It's about him. We just get the opportunity to flourish underneath of it. We get the opportunity to flourish in his anointing. Divine favor, church, it's not about things you get. It's about making us more like Jesus. When I think about Jesus, I never saw a man who was self-seeking. He was generous and he poured out. Even on the cross, he stood up there and he hung from the cross and he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Oh, that's generous. Because let me tell you what, that would not have been me. But he stood under the anointing in that moment and God's favor. God's favor is never meant to be held onto. Those of you who are holding on to it, shame on you. It was never meant to be held onto or stored up. It was meant to be given generously, just like Jesus. Come on. Holding on to that is ridiculous. This is my favorite. God's anointing has the power to break the power of sin and bondage over our lives. Sin has always separated us. It's always separated us from the presence of God. Struggle with sin, it's been since the beginning of time, right? Recorded time, it's been the struggle. Satan, he takes it and he uses that sin to make us believe that something that it's never can be overcome. How many of y'all been in that spot before? I'm raising my hand because there is sin that's been in my life that God has taken care of, but Satan has constantly said, you are separated because of it. And without God's presence, without his anointing, without a Savior, he's right. But because of that anointing, because of the Father, I'm not. He baits us. Satan, some of you need to hear this. I'm going to go a little bit further with it. He baits us into believing. He baits you. It's truthful. He's like a master manipulator, right? He baits us into believing the lie so that we believe that there is no power that can overcome our sin. Nothing that can bridge the gap between God's presence, favor, power, and living that dedicated life to him. He tells us that there's nothing we can do to get to that place. And he's lying to you. He's telling you these terrible lies. But yet, God provided a way. The anointing of God provides the power to break the sin, the hold of sin over our lives. Listen to this. Isaiah chapter 10, verse 27 says this. In that day, the Lord will end the bondage of his people. He will break the yoke of slavery and lift it from their shoulders. The anointing of God does what we are not capable of doing, church. You are not capable of breaking the power of sin. But the anointing of God is. We can expect God to move on us when we live under his anointing, when we live under his presence, when we set ourselves apart, consecrate ourselves, when we allow the Holy Spirit to come in. See how this is all building up here? It's all coming together here. God is in the business of setting the captive free. Jesus so declared this. Get this. I want you to hear this. Jesus declared God's presence rested upon him for the very purpose of setting us free. If we look at Luke chapter 4, verse 18 and 19, he's quoting Isaiah saying the prophecy's been fulfilled today when he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released and that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come. When Jesus lives in our heart, we have that same outpouring, that same anointing is poured upon us. Come on. I'm preaching to myself right now, but I'm all right. Let me say that again. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. For he has anointed me to bring the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim the captives will be released and the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come. That's anointing. And that anointing lives within you because Jesus lives within you, because you've invited him into your heart. If you haven't, we'll have a moment for that in a little bit. But you don't have to be burdened by sin. When we look at this, the anointing, it does one other thing. It designates us as belonging to Jesus. The anointing opens our eyes to the truth of who Jesus is. 1 John chapter 2, verse 20 tells us this, but you are not like that, for the Holy One has given you his Spirit, and all of you know the truth. I love that first little phrase, but you are not like that. You are different. You are consecrated. You're empowered. You are living a life that the bondage of sin is broken. You belong to Jesus because you are not like that. The anointing opens us up to the truth according to Jesus, and he is the truth. We truly see him. The anointing shows us, all those around us, that Jesus lives inside of us and that we're truly his. Just a little bit further down in verse 27 of 1 John chapter 2 tells us this, but you've received the Holy Spirit and he lives within you. So you don't need anyone to teach you what is true, for the Spirit teaches you everything you need to know. And what he teaches is true, it's not a lie. So he has taught you, remain in fellowship with Christ. To live under the anointing, we have to stay in fellowship with Jesus, guys. When we lose that fellowship with Christ, we also fall from his anointing. We lose the connection with his presence. Because to live under the anointing, to be under the anointing of God, we have to submit to his will and live in his presence. It rolls all the way back to that very first thing I said. It starts with choice. Some of you live in these lives that you keep wondering where it's been. It starts with choice. I'm just about done here. I want to look at two more people. When we look at Saul, anybody remember who King Saul is? 1 Samuel, take a look at it. King Saul was anointed. And then he began to fall. He began to live out from underneath the presence of God. He began to live without his direction. He began to do the things that he wanted to. He, all of a sudden, that divine favor that he thought he had, he started to hold it in for himself. He started to do all of the things that are the opposite of what I just said here. But it really started with the fact that he chose to not submit to the will of God in his life. And he lost the anointing. But by contrast, we can look at David, who willingly submitted to God's anointing and God's presence came upon him. And it starts with this simple verse. It's out of 1 Samuel, verse 16 and 13. So as David stood there among his brothers, Samuel took the flask of oil he had brought and anointed David with the oil. And the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David from that day on. Well, we're going to wrap it up here. When we look at the anointing, I want you guys to hear this one more time. It's 5 points. I don't preach 5 points, but I'm preaching 5 points today because they're important. They mean something. To be anointed means that we are living our lives consecrated to serving God with our whole lives. Not two-thirds. I don't do fractions very well, so not 7/16. I'm not even sure what that is. But, right? We live with our whole lives. We consecrate our whole lives. We live under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, empowering us to do God's will. We live in God's favor when we live under his anointing. When we live under that anointing, guys, we have the power over sin and bondage in our lives. And lastly, the anointing shows us that the world, that we belong to Jesus. I know it's 11:45. I didn't do too bad. I didn't do terrible. Steve almost got us to the contractor spot. But I want to take some time today. And God's given me 4 questions to ask you all today. And I brought this little thing of anointing oil. It's symbolic. There's nothing special about it. There's nothing at all. It's not holy. I didn't get it in Israel. I didn't do anything like that. I bought it at the store yesterday, just to be perfectly honest. But today, I believe that God wants us. He wants us to live under his anointing. He wants us to live under all of those characteristics I just described to you. I believe that with my whole heart. And I believe there are people here today that are vine. They're dying on the vine, if you will, because they're not living under God's anointing. I told you this has nothing special. It's just symbolic. But I want to give the opportunity for some of you who want the anointing of God, who want to live your life under his anointing. Old, new, you know, young, I don't care. I don't care whether you've been a Christian 75 years or whether you've been a Christian 7 minutes. But you want to live under his anointing today. To finish well. To start well. To be in the middle well. To live under his divine favor. Maybe you've got sin that binds you this morning. This is that opportunity to say, God, I'm consecrating my life for you to live under that anointing. So I'm going to ask these four questions. I'm bold. You guys know that today. I'm really bold today. So I'm not even going to ask you to bow your heads, because I'm going to ask you these four questions, and then I'm going to ask you for a response. If this is the first time, maybe it's you want to renew, maybe it's the first time you've ever, but you want to submit your life to Jesus. You want to consecrate and dedicate your life to Jesus so you can live fully in him, to experience the fullness of his anointing. I want you to come forward. I know some of you are waiting here for a minute now. You're scared. But some of you just want to seek out God's anointing because you're tired of living with the presence, without his presence and power and authority in your life. If that's you, I want you to, here in a minute, get up and come forward. If you're struggling with sin and you want the anointing of God to break the power of sin in your life, I want you to come forward in just a minute. If you need a fresh anointing in your life, if you need healing today, I want you to come forward, and I want to anoint you with oil. So I'm going to give that opportunity. I'm going to pray, and as I'm praying, I'm going to close my eyes, and any of you who want to come forward, I want you to come forward now. If you desire that anointing in your life, you want to live under God's favor, empowered with the Holy Spirit, free of bondage of sin and shame, I want you to come forward. So, Father, I just thank you for your presence today, God. Lord, I thank you for your goodness. Lord, I thank you for your healing that comes with your anointing. God, the healing that takes us from being sick, as I heard it described this morning, sick and wretched, Lord, but to fullness in your presence today, God. Lord, if I pray that you would touch each and every one of these people today. God, that you would put your spirit upon them. Lord, that anointing would be fresh, just like David did, Lord. It says that the spirit of the Lord came upon him as Samuel and anointed him. So, Father, I pray for your presence to come. I pray for your goodness to rush over each and every one of these people. I pray that you would convict hearts that aren't living the way that they should today, God. Lord, that today would be their day. Lord, I pray that you would bring us into reconciliation with you today, Father. So, Lord, I praise you. I thank you in Jesus' name.